Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Should parents allow their kids to take reasonable risk? This has been a topic that has blown up the conservative movement, I guess you could say, over the past week, over the weekend. It's still popping up on my feed. So I just thought that I would give the perspective of a soon-to-be new mom of what I think about this take, what a lot of other people are saying, and just kind of give my opinion. So you have a lot of people saying to, you know, let your five-year-old go inside the grocery store and do a little bit of grocery shopping and pay while you as the mom or the dad or both of you wait in the car for them to get back. And this is, I think, intending to be good. You know, we want to teach our children to be brave. We want them to be courageous. We don't want them to be super shy in public. We want them to be able to communicate with adults effectively. We want them to learn life skills. Grocery shopping is a life skill. I do it every week for my family. And in fact, when I was growing up, I did it with my mom. And it was actually a really fun bonding time that every Saturday, it's time to go to the grocery store in the afternoon. So there are a lot of good things about this. However, and then you have other parents saying, oh my goodness, I would never let my child do anything like that. There's just too many things that could go wrong. There's too many risks. There's too many dangers. They could get kidnapped. There might be some weird people in the store. You just never know what's going to happen. I want eyes on my children at all times. So you have both sides of this issue. And I will say that this is genuinely mostly a conservative thing going on. I haven't seen any liberal news kick in. I haven't seen any liberal talking points when it comes to this. This really seems to be the conservative moms going at it a little bit of what is considered appropriate when it comes to allowing our children to take risk. I'm 31 weeks pregnant as of now. Welcoming our daughter into the world is going to be one of the most amazing times. We're super excited about it. And my husband and I are kind of already thinking of, okay, what are some boundaries we want to be put in place? What are some guidelines that we want? What are some ideas that we have of how we want to raise her? What platforms we want her to be on, etc. So we've already made the decision to keep her off of social media completely. That includes pictures of her, public pictures, that is. That includes her legal name, that we really feel like because of the age we're living in and because of the nature of some things that I do with work, etc., that it's just a smarter option to be on the safe side when it comes to that. And I know that a lot of people differ and have different opinions of that, but that's just a conviction that my husband and I have come to, that, you know what, the less information about our daughter on the internet is probably best. Facebook, Instagram, they just aren't what they used to be. Even when I was getting Instagram, when I was like, goodness, when did I get Instagram? I think I was 15 years old when I got my first Instagram account. And how Instagram has even evolved since when I was 15 to now is crazy. It's just become very incentivized to put people down, to body shame, to encourage sinful behavior. For example, with a lot of girls, you get more likes, you get more follows, you possibly get brand deals if you show more of your skin. So there was just a lot of things with social media that have evolved over the past decade that even I wasn't dealing with when I was growing up. So that's one risk, I guess you could say, that we are not letting ourselves take as parents. And some parents might look at that and say, oh, you're being super paranoid. You're assuming everyone on the internet is a creep. So that's kind of my segue for this subject of, should children be able to take reasonable risk? I think you can go to an extreme to where you are terrified to even, while your kids are at the park, you can't even sit on the park bench and watch them. You have to be with them at all times. I think you do run into an issue when you're kind of considered a helicopter parent, where you have an inability to allow them to do anything by themselves without feeling a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear. So I think that's a dangerous thing to go into. And that anxiety and fear is bled, obviously, onto your children. That if you're super anxious about them doing anything, they are going to be super anxious people and they're going to be scared to take risks. They're going to be scared to take a chance and to be brave and courageous and stand for things that are important. So we don't want to cripple our kids of what it means to be an adult, what it means to live in the world, what it means to grow in our character. However, I am not so sure. I agree, and I won't say names, with one person's take of letting their 5-year-old kind of do a bunch of things without them. So, for example, I mentioned to you about the grocery store. That was a big one, of letting your kids run into the grocery store by themselves. And I remember swiping up on this one conservative woman's story, saying, and she had a questionnaire box asking, would you let your 5-year-old go into the grocery store by themselves? And I answered in that question box, no, because I wish I had more space to flesh out my answer. Because if you know the question boxes, they only give you so much space. But if I could have given my full answer would have been, I, as the parent, am responsible for the safety and well-being of my child. And grocery stores particularly host some strange behaviors, some strange people. And I would not feel comfortable allowing my 5-year-old to go in there by herself. Now, maybe I'd feel comfortable if she was 7 or 8 or 10, but 5 just seems really young to me. So I guess this is where I'm getting into my opinion that I kind of tend to take both extremes and disregard them. And I kind of want to go down the middle path to where I don't want to emotionally or effectively cripple my children. I don't want them to assume that every single person is a kidnapper or everyone has their worst interests at heart or everyone wants to hurt them. I mean, that's a very toxic mentality. It's a very damaging mentality to go around thinking that you're a possible victim at all times. However, I think it is important that we teach our children safety, that we teach our children responsibility, and that we as parents gauge the perspectiveness of how independent they can be based off of their personal maturity. Me as a 5-year-old was way more mature than some of my guy friends, like in kindergarten, as a 5-year-old. So we can't make this blanket statement that all kids are at developmentally and maturity-wise the same level at all ages, because it's just not true. Our daughter might have the personality to where she's very outgoing, very extroverted, and very mature for her age. And so that might lead us to allow her a little bit more independency with different things. However, if she tends to be more introverted and she's more shy and she's more timid in a lot of things and not as mature for her age, we're going to be less likely to allow her to do independent tasks. That's not to say we're not going to encourage her to become more independent, that we're not going to encourage her to learn how to overcome some of her shyness. But you have to gauge each child differently. And to just make a blanket statement that every 5-year-old should be able to go to the grocery store by themselves and while their mom waits for them in the car and be able to check out a couple of groceries, I think that's disingenuous to what parenting children is really like. I think it doesn't give enough credit to the fact that not all children are the same. Every child is different. Every child's personality is different. Every child's inclinations are different. Their maturity levels are different. And so I think part of the job of the parent is not to make so much a blanket statement that by this age, you should be able to do this, or you're not as independent as you should be. I think it's the job of the parent, like I was saying, to be able to gauge your child in an appropriate and kind way. And if you see them that maybe they're struggling with their shyness, maybe it would be good when their maturity is at the right stage, when they're developmentally at the right stage, to push them a little bit, to be a little bit more independent, to be a little bit more outgoing, to be able to speak to adults on their own. That's a probably a good exercise for them to do. The blanket statement of every 5-year-old should be able to do XYZ, I think it's just, I don't know. I don't think it's genuine to normal parenting matters to people who have children, who experience different personalities, especially if you have multiple children and you've had kids through age 5 and you've seen like all, I have 5 kids, all of them have gone through age 5 and none of them have been the same. I think it's disingenuous to like make that blanket statement. So that is my opinion on that. But then, interestingly enough, I have noticed that this conversation has also delved into the realm of how far do we go as parents in allowing our kids to access certain things, to do sleepovers, to access technology, and all of those things. And again, I didn't want to make this a long episode. I wanted this to be a little bit more fun. I would just love to give my opinion on that. So again, my husband and I have already come to certain decisions when it comes to how we want to raise our daughter, different values that we want to instill in her. And one thing that we are very set on is no technology until at least the age of 3. We don't want her in front of screens. We don't want her having access to screens. We want her imagination and her brain to develop properly. And we make this decision not just because we want to be crunchy or whatever, but because scientific studies have backed up this point that children really should not be exposed to screen time until the age of 3. And so when we look at the scientific studies that have corroborated the damage that can be done to a developing brain, because you do most of your brain development between 0 and 3, when you look at that research, and when you also look at how damaging a lot of the shows are nowadays, a lot of the content that is in kids' shows, even the quote-unquote safe shows that tend to go woke or tend to go liberal in their messaging, we just want to keep her away from all of that. Again, might receive flack for that, but you know what? I do not care. It is our daughter, and we have the right to raise her how we think is best. So that's another thing that we are wanting to do with her and the rest of our kids. And so we're looking into different entertainment options when they're old enough. True play games is one I'm really excited about once they hit the 5, 6, 7 year old range of when we're allowing them to have a little bit of screen time. Super wholesome game content with True Play. Brave Books is another amazing resource for audiobooks and wholesome content that your children can consume, whether it be audiobooks, podcasts, or physical books that they can read to stimulate their imagination. So things like that. So that's one thing that we're, I guess, divulging from the culture. But back to the sleepover thing, I was thinking of this a lot today because I recently listened to a conservative podcast talking about sleepovers and whether or not they would allow their children to do sleepovers. And I don't know about you guys, but I never enjoyed sleepovers, and I still don't. To this day, I hate sleeping over at other people's houses. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a comfortability issue, but I just, now I like sleeping over in hotels. Funny enough, I love sleeping in hotels. I get great sleep in hotels. Hotel beds, any bed. For some reason, my body just loves hotels. So it's not hotels that's the problem. It's sleeping over in other people's homes. It's just uncomfortable for me. I can't sleep well. I have so many things going through my brain. I can't shut my brain off. I don't know what it is. I've always hated sleepovers, but I don't want my hatred of sleepovers to mean that I would never allow my children to do a sleepover. But what I will say is I think, and I might change my mind on this, but for the time being, my husband and I are thinking that we would not do sleepovers, especially when they're super, super young. I think there would have to be an age and maturity expectation before we would allow sleepovers. But also, we would have to know the families super well to know who's going to be at the house, what content are they going to be watching, what kind of technology access do they have. And we would want to know all those things and have a really close connection with the family before we would allow a sleepover. So, for example, like a family from church that we're really close to, I would be more inclined than a friend from school whose parents I don't know. Because you don't know what kind of siblings are in the house. You don't know if the uncle's coming over. There are a lot of factors that tie into that decision of whether or not to allow your child to sleep over. And that kind of ties back into the reasonable risk, because the sleepover and the grocery store conversations were kind of happening at the same time. Is it too helicoptery parent of you to say, oh my goodness, no sleepovers because we don't know who's at the house? Is that too fearful? Is that too anxious? And my personal opinion, I don't think so. I think sleepovers, not a lot of good things happen late at night, early in the morning when you're not sleeping when you should be, when you maybe have more access to technology than you usually do. There are just, like I said, a lot of factors we would have to consider as parents before allowing any of our children to go to a sleepover. So that's my take on that. Just reiterating, I wanted this to be a fun episode, and I thought this conversation in the conservative movement was a really refreshing one, actually, because usually we're used to people lambasting each other, especially on the right versus the left, over very serious matters. But it's kind of rare that we get a very in-depth, passionate conversation going on one side of the aisle of all conservative parents who both love their children, who both know and want what is best for their kids, and coming to different conclusions on something that is, I guess, more trivial in nature than what we're used to dealing with in the culture. So I hope this episode was a fun one for you. Let me know if you agree with me or disagree with me. I would love to know all the opinions, because who knows? My opinion could change. I don't see it changing, but we shall see. Thank you so much for watching or listening if you're listening via our audio channels. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.